This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 wishes to advise the following broadcast event is part of a sexual health campaign for the GLBTI community. At times, there may be frank discussions on a range of topics, including methods for safe sex, symptoms of sexually transmitted infections, and other topics targeted to the people who are sexually active. Listener's discretion is advised.
Thanks to funding from Family Planning Victoria, Australia's only gay and lesbian community radio station, Joy 94.9, travelled to Shepparton on Sunday, February 13, 2011, for an outside broadcast, part of Family Planning Victoria's Sexual Health and Diversity Enterprise campaign. The Shades of Joy broadcast was a sexual health information forum held at Uniting Care Cutting Edge in Shepparton. The Shade campaign aims to raise awareness of sexually transmitted infections and bloodborne viruses in same-sex attracted young people in regional Victoria and their social networks.
All voices, our voices.
Joy 94.9.
Shades of Joy, live broadcast from Shepparton here at the Uniting Care Cutting Edge, 136 Maud Street. Come on down if you're listening online. As I say, 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS number, or you can email onair at joy.org.au. I'm getting used to it. I can say that in my sleep now.
You're doing that really well. I was actually admiring you from over there earlier.
Admiring me, really? I was admiring you too.
Well, thank you.
Sorry. Brian, you've changed. It's Kat. Kat's joining me now. To talk to Anne Sexton, who's the regional manager for the school nurse program. Now, you cover a huge area. Welcome to Joy 94.9. You cover a huge area of Victoria, don't you? Hume region.
Yeah, we do, Carl. Thanks for the invite. It's a great opportunity to be here today. Hume region school nursing program covers from Wallen is the outer end of our region, over to Alexandra, up to Wodonga, sort of Shepparton, Newmark and Nathalia.
So it's pretty much central Victoria you're really
pretty
covering.
Much, yeah.
What does the program do?
Well, the secondary school nursing program particularly services 23 of our secondary schools in the region. Mm-hmm. And primarily, I guess, what our school nurses do is around health promotion. So they provide some one-on-one counselling for young people, but a big part of their role is around supporting classroom teachers to provide health promotion classes, programs, access to resources in the community, find out who's out and about in your local community that can support young people in a broad range of health aspects, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many nurses are actually doing this work?
I didn't want the trick question.
Sorry.
We've got about 15 or 16 nurses who work across, usually in a 0.5 capacity in each school, so they tend to share schools, or they might have two schools each, so around about 15 or 16.
Wow, that's a lot of work in a very big area.
It is, and when you live here in central Victoria, geography plays a big part of that, so travel is a huge issue for our guys, and we have a number of large secondary schools, but as you could imagine, we also have a number of secondary schools that have quite small numbers of students.
Yeah.
When the nurses visit the school, what sort of, well, you say it's mainly education,
yep.
What are they teaching?
Well, they don't visit, they have a spot, so
okay,
they would be allocated to a school, and they might work, so they work in a 0.5, 2 days, 3 days a week in any given school. And they would work with the school, usually with the student wellbeing welfare team within the school, to decide what kinds of things they might decide to focus on. Heaps around sexuality education. So
yep.
Sexuality mm-hmm. education, drug and alcohol issues, and mental health are probably the three biggies that they deal with most of the time. But it could be a whole range of things. They don't do the traditional old band-aids and broken arms kind of thing. It really is seen to be in a health promotion, in a prevention-based model of health promotion, and then the one-on-one counselling, so the sort of intervention at that level. Yeah.
Yep. So what? Can you tell me a little bit about the one-on-one counselling and what that involves?
Well, that might be a young person might come. School nurses, as you could imagine, are separate and quite different to teachers. So for young people,
yeah.
They're often seen as a first point of call and someone that they know. Not that you can't go to a teacher in confidence, but they absolutely have faith in the school nursing position to go there and have confidence. So they'll go and they might talk about, they might be concerned around pregnancy-related issues. They might be concerned around any sort of same-sex attracted type issues. They might be just getting picked on and bullied. So the school nurse becomes their very first, for many of them, not all of them, but for many of these kids, their very first point of call. And then they'll have that opportunity to debrief, talk them through and hopefully support them, as well as link them into services within the community that will support them.
Great. When it comes to same-sex attracted youths,
yep.
Are there any other existing safe sex campaigns?
I guess it's school is like any other community, so it's about how we address the issues as they arise, and I think generally speaking schools try and do a pretty good job of that. I think the secondary school nursing program provides a critical link because it's something that my guys have I guess specialist training in. You know, I'm really conscious of making sure the team are upskilled around sexuality education in the broad context, as well as with specific areas such as, you know, same-sex attracted and STIs, that kind of thing. We're lucky in SHEP, we have access to the Centre for Excellence in Rural Sexual Health. We provide quality professional development. My guys go to the Family Planning in Victoria to update their training. So I suppose they're seen as, for want of a better word, the expert around those sorts of things in schools. And so they try and provide programs for schools that support kids around sexuality education broadly, of which same-sex attracted we see to be a significant part of that. So they would do a lot around relationships, what makes a good relationship, that it's not just, I guess, the pointy end of sex ed like we used to know it, I suppose. It's a really different frame these days, thankfully.
I remember same-sex in high school, which was... safe sex
education
in high school, which was a very long time ago, and it pretty much consisted of don't do it.
Well, fortunately,
and it wasn't working. I don't know why.
Strange that.
I remember the main thing with our sex ed at school was watching a video of a woman giving birth, and it was so graphic. I'm like, thank God I'm never going to give birth, because I tell you what, this is nuts.
Yeah, that may have been the defining moment in me deciding not to have children.
Yeah. And we had to put a condom on a banana.
Yeah.
That really didn't teach me.
We didn't even get that. I was at Catholic school.
I don't think they have bananas there.
That's right, no bananas.
Maybe you've got bananas anywhere.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So fortunately, we've moved on.
Yes, good. We're moving a little further. Do the nurses work within with other organisations, rather, such as Shade and Way Out and organisations like that, in delivering these services and getting information?
They certainly can. I suppose one of the key elements to their role is to be seen to be a resource. So I would hope that my school nurses in school, depending on where they work, would know what services are available in each little local community, because, as you go, again, geography plays a big part in that. There's what services you can access, for example, at New Mirka Secondary College are going to be very different to what you can access if you go to school in Shepparton. So they need to know what services are available in their local community, and then the role of the nurse then is to hook young people up with that, but also then to bring in other experts in the field, and that might be just giving kids, young people access to websites that have got really good information, working closely with other agencies around that. Certainly, you know, our guys hook up quite a lot here with GV Pride and those sorts of, and certainly at Search the same, they would do lots around making sure that they have all of the resources and information that they can then support young people to make those direct connections with the agencies themselves.
And when it comes to resources, what about the availability of things like condoms or dental dams in schools? Like, where does the funding come from for things like that?
School nurses don't provide condoms or dental dams per se. They would certainly discuss both of those options in terms of the safety message. That's a really critical part. What they do is, if a young person came in and said, you know, where can I access a dental dam here, well, then they would be given a list of opportunities, or at least places where they could go. And what we really encourage our nurses to do, and what they do well, is to provide more than one option, because, you know, as you know, one option for me is not the best option that's going to be for you. So we try and give them a range of options so that young people feel comfortable at least accessing a particular service.
That's right. You may not want to go down to the local pharmacy where your dad's friend
owns it.
Absolutely.
And their child that you go to school with is behind the counter.
That's a massive issue in rural communities, because it is very insular. So we need to make sure that young people have an opportunity for protecting themselves, and
feeling comfortable enough to do that and put that as a priority.
Yes, but still being able to access the service, which is the critical part of the message, I guess.
How long has the program been running in the Hume area?
Secondary school nursing program's been around 10-11 years this year. It was a funding initiative by the state some way back then. And so nurses were put into schools, and it's been an ongoing part of their role since.
Has there been a difference in that 10 years in terms of statistics? I don't know if you're well versed, but a reduction in instances where STIs have been spread, and also, I suppose, pregnancies and just general sexual knowledge, has there been a reduction or has it been a difference? Or
if you're asking me, does our program work? Absolutely, yes, it works. If you're asking me, has there been a reduction in stats? You know, you guys probably know that as well as I do. In some things, we're seeing a reduction in statistics. In other things, we're seeing increases for a whole range of reasons. I think one of the benefits of the school nursing program is that it provides that extra person within a school that young people don't necessarily see as being directly linked to the school, and yet with a very particular area of expertise. They are seen as experts, particularly in sexuality education and those other things, but in the context of our chat, that young people see them as knowing stuff about sexuality education. I think that's critical. So in terms of, are we doing a better job educating? Absolutely, I think we are, and we do it differently, as we talked about before, so I think we're doing a great job with that. Statistically, time will tell, I think.
Yes, a bit more proactive approach, I suppose, because like we say, I was only in school 4 or 5 years ago, and the sexual health, you know, the education we had then was just, I thought, pretty basic. Like, and thank God for the internet and things like that, where young people can and access this information. But if it's a more one-on-one approach, I suppose you get a bit more out of it.
And our thinking around what we know to be good sexual education has changed. We don't just teach about penis and vaginas and how babies are made anymore, thankfully.
Yep.
You know, it's in the really broad spectrum, and certainly the huge part of the school nursing program is a safety message. So harm minimisation and keeping yourself safe is a massive part of what they do. Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about vaginas, so maybe I'll... I promise.
You have to come, we'll teach us some stuff.
Yeah. Anne Sexton from the Victorian Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, and this is a long title, Secondary School Nurse Program. The director, the manager, the whole thing. Thank you very much for joining us on Joy 94.9.
Shades of Joy Outside Broadcast, recorded live in Shepparton, Sunday, February 13, 2011, only on Joy 94.9.
The Country Awareness Network is a community member-based not-for-profit funded in part by Victoria's Department of Human Services. CAN, as it's known, provides information, education, support, referrals and advocacy to Victoria's rural and regional communities with regards to HIV/AIDS, Hep C and other bloodborne viruses, and sexual health in general. Joining us to discuss the work of CAN is their executive officer, Adam Wright. Welcome.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Adam, when was CAN Victoria started and why was it started?
Oh, geez. Going back a while now. Well, it first started under a different name. It was based in Castlemaine, but it was set up originally by concerned members of the community wanting to show support or offer support to people living with HIV or AIDS. And as you'd probably know, and audience as well, that, you know, early to mid-90s, things were a lot different with HIV than they are today. A lot of that community support that was offered was, very basic stuff around the house, you know, doing house cleaning and taking, you know, patients to doctor, you know, visits and so forth. It moved to Bendigo shortly thereafter and was incorporated as Country AIDS Network. Continued most of that early days, the work around HIV, but over the years, has changed, evolved, I suppose, as HIV's evolved, and it's grown to do a lot more work in community education prevention. And as you mentioned earlier, it's not just with HIV, but general sexual health. Do a lot of work with GLBTI issues, as well as, you know, hepatitis C, other bloodborne viruses.
Now, you are based in Bendigo, but you service all of regional Victoria. How do you manage to do that?
Well, we try. With the long history of CAN, we do have members across the state, and as one of our biggest challenges is providing that support or, being so under-resourced. We rely heavily upon unpaid volunteers. We have members across the state, so sometimes, as well as we have professional networks and contacts as well, but if someone rings up and wants, say, support in, you know, a very, you know, rural area, with any luck, if, you know, we don't have, you know, a service or something we can turn them to. We might have a volunteer or someone as a member that, you know, might even just, you know, meet with them, give them some local knowledge and information about what is around, and, you know, have a cup of coffee with them. So sometimes it's still very, very countrified.
Indeed. Condoms and water-based lube, of course, will help protect us from HIV/AIDS. But both Department of Human Services and the Department of Health have realised that building stronger communities also has really valuable sexual health outcomes. How do you go about supporting other groups in regional Victoria through CAN?
Well, that's definitely been one of our you know, mantras for a long time now, and particularly here recently with the Take Care Out Back There project. We were doing a lot of that in engaging with GLBTI community groups and events. We have partnerships with the like of GV Pride here in Shepparton. We provide them with safe packs, as well as we do what we can to also support them to not only build their capacity, but to sustain them. Because one of the challenges, once again, is in the country, you have to think outside the square. You have to do things a bit differently sometimes. There's plenty of venues and avenues in the city where you can target your safe sex messages and your health promotion campaigns to, you know, gay venues and events, but they're fewer and far between in country. And it's quite important that groups such as Diversity or GV Pride, that they're sustained and they continue, because having a partnership with them gives us opportunities then to you know, provide those resources or sometimes that information and education. And it's been very successful so far. You know, and we find that in the country, most groups, organizations, you know, things like GV Pride or Chill Out, welcome that sort of engagement. They welcome support and the resourcing, and they're quite keen to partner up. You know, they do believe in that mateship and partnership.
Adam, let's explore what some of the specific issues are regarding those living in regional Victoria. And who do you target specifically? Is it sort of the younger demographic, or do you target all age groups?
Pretty much all age groups. I've got to say that, you know, youth is high on the priority list, though, because we feel that, you know, that being our future, if you can engage the young people of today with the knowledge and the information, you can, you know, do a lot towards prevention. And we all know that preventing is, you know, much better. You know, prevention's worth a pound of cure.
Accessing services, though, for those living in regional Victoria can be quite difficult.
It is. Besides just the mere lack of number of services available, quite often what is the biggest barrier is the perceived idea of, you know, overcoming challenges such as privacy and confidentiality. Many folks, and particularly young people, it's scary enough if you, you know, have a query or a question or a concern about sexual health. It's scary enough just to talk to someone, let alone find someone that you trust or someone that you know is going to, you know, be reliable and keep your privacy or confidentiality at the forefront. We not only work with the community as far as informing them of, you know, how it all works and about their rights to privacy under the law and confidentiality, but we work also with professionals where we can, just to engage them on how to better, you know, engage the GLBT community, how to show the, you know, GLBT community that they are welcoming and included into their practices.
I'm speaking with Adam Wright, the Executive Officer of the Country Awareness Network in Victoria. You're listening to Shades of Joy on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck with you, and with me today is Adam Wright, the Executive Officer of the Country Awareness Network, and he is also the coordinator of Take Care Outback There. Adam, Take Care Outback There sounds a little bit like our Take Care Out There program here in Melbourne. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Oh, they are. We're sister projects. Now, the Also Foundation leads Take Care Out There, which is doing similar work of engaging the GLBT community around keeping sexual health on the agenda, while we're leading the rural stream, the Take Care Out Back There. And our work travels around rural Victoria, doing things like workshops and training, supplying resources. This weekend, we had a workshop in Morwell, one of the Momentum workshops, which is based on workshops from the Victorian AIDS Council. We've taken the same model and squeezed it and condensed it down to an intensive weekend workshop for guys who like other guys and spend the weekend talking about issues, you know, relevant to the country, coming out, challenges of homophobia in the country, challenges of meeting other guys in the country, as well as, you know, just an opportunity for guys sometimes to network, to make new friends and contacts.
Adam, sexual health NGOs are often criticized for reinventing themselves just to keep themselves employed. Is this sharing of resources something new?
No, it's not. And I've got to say on behalf of CANA, it may be because of necessity, but I find quite often the work that we do in the country negates that you share your resources, your expertise, and that you do partner up, because quite often, you know, we're so resource poor. I got to say, you know, 99% of all the work that CAN does is one way or another reliant upon other partners, whether that be someone from the city or a peak body such as the Victorian AIDS Council, or whether it be a community health center out here in the country. Quite often, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do if it hadn't, you know, wasn't for partners and the like of, you know, and when I say partners, it's not just always organizations or groups. Our partners include individuals. 98% of all the work that CAN does is done by unpaid staff and volunteers.
You recently launched a little booklet titled Beating Around the Bush. It's a resource and information sort of guide for men who have sex with men and beats in the regional area. Explain why you produced this booklet.
It came out of the work that we do, and beats can be found everywhere.
Ain't that the truth?
Across the world. It's not something unique to country. But I suppose the role that beats can play in the country can be a bit different from metropolitan counterparts.
Sometimes they're the only facility for guys to catch up with each other.
Well, that's right. And, well, you know, beats are traditionally places where guys go to meet other guys for sex. It's not always the case in the country. You know, when I first relocated to Central Victoria years back, I found that weekend nights, particularly among young guys, was quite often the place where they caught up with each other for socializing or catching up on gossip. I mean, they may or may not have met guys and had sex, but part of the motivation was driven by just that networking and connecting. So we know through our experience, and whether you're in the country or the city, beats, you know, can also propose risks. They can propose risks to, you know, of homophobic violence or risks to personal safety. And the resource wasn't developed to try and discourage people from that, but it was just about informing them about the risks and giving them tips and how to avoid them and how to look after themselves and their mates.
Now, in the city, we're very familiar with the gay and lesbian liaison officers. What sort of relationship do you have with the police in regional and rural Victoria?
Well, it does vary. Once again, that resource poor comes into play. Quite often, you know, the police stations and districts around rural Victoria are understaffed and under-resourced. It's not always easy to have a GLOW assigned in certain regional districts.
Sometimes there's only one or two cops in the area anyway.
Exactly. And quite often the geographic area that they're expected to cover can be enormous, which is an ongoing issue that you find in country in general. We're lucky in Central Victoria that, you know, we've had two or three different GLOW officers, we've always had one, and they've been pretty good blokes and women that have been very approachable and very available to the community. I suppose, though, that's sort of evidence of some of those challenges. You know, we have, I know, in Central Victoria, gone through about three or four different ones. So that sort of, you know, lack of support that they get sometimes because of lack of funding or money or resourcing, it's an ongoing challenge and battle, and one we still have to face. And there are, you know, other GLOWs in other districts, and I've heard great reports, but it's not always a perfect system and, you know, part of the work that we do.
Adam Wright, could you give me an example of how the Country Awareness Network has really helped out someone in need?
The needs can vary greatly. In some extreme cases, we've acted as an advocate. Gentleman a couple of years ago, obviously because of privacy and confidentiality, won't give too many details, but basically was discriminated because of his health status from his employer. felt really done wrongly by after, you know, being fired because of his health status. In turn, was referred to us by their GP. When he told his GP what happened, his GP explains that that's wrong. You need to go see the people at CAN. Ultimately, we advocated on his behalf. He ended up going through, you know, VCAT and negotiated out or mediated out a better outcome than what he deserved originally from his employer. So sometimes, you know, I can go to that extreme where, you know, we will actually, you know, hold someone's hand, be an advocate for them. But a lot of our work is, you know, as I said, reliant upon partnerships. And sometimes that means just knowing who's out there, because there's a lot of good expertise and work out here in rural Victoria. You know, for instance, the work that Sue Heckney does with the young people in the Way Out Project. And knowing that expertise and where it lies is a lot of what we have to keep up on and what we do so that we can point people in the right direction.
Now, the Country Awareness Network's offices are located at 34 Myers Street in Bendigo. It's also a resource centre for anyone that wants to pop in as well.
Sure. We get students, teachers, other allied health professionals that drop in. We have a range of resources, you know, brochures, pamphlets, and information on sexual health and HIV and diversity. Quite often they drop in for those resources for their clients and so forth, or they ring up and we send them across the state. And then we also have individuals. You know, if you're ever in Bendigo, we always say it's a nice, friendly place with friendly volunteers. Everyone's welcome to always drop in for a free cupper and a chat.
Now, the phone number is 5443 8355. That's 5443 8355, and you can find out more by going to can.org.au. Adam Wright, Executive Officer of the Country Awareness Network, thanks very much for joining us on Joy.
No worries, thank you.
Dean Beck with you on Shades of Joy. This is Joy 94.9.
Shades of Joy Outside Broadcast, recorded live in Shepparton, Sunday, February 13, 2011, only on Joy 94.9.
You are on Shades of Joy, live from Shepparton. Dean Beck with you, and joining me here is Kat.
And we are speaking to Goulburn Valley Pride today, and they're all about providing a safe space for friendship, family, networking and fellowship. GV Pride Inc., the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, ally social group, is located in the Shepparton, Goulburn Valley, northeast Victorian region, and friends and family of this community are most welcome as well.
Joining us to discuss what Goulburn Valley Pride get up to is Chris. Welcome.
Thank you.
Chris, Goulburn Valley Pride, how many members have you got?
You know, the members are constantly changing. I think there's about 60 financial members and over like 100 members on our email database. And constantly new people coming into town that just drop in.
And what does Goulburn Valley Pride get up to?
Well, Goulburn Valley Pride, we have a committee of about 8 people that meet monthly, and then we talk about and think what events, you know, are going in the area, whether it's, you know, Pride March, Chill Out, you know, we're going to Mardi Gras next month. But locally we get up to, you know, we have a steak night at the GV Hotel. Once a month we go to the Icon in Bendigo, so that's their gay night. You know, that we have P-Flag meetings. They're going to Hairspray down in Melbourne. We recently saw Mary Poppins as a minibus, and we do brunches, tenpin bowlings. It's a very friendly, fun, family-orientated group.
It sounds like you do a lot of stuff. Are there lots of organisers, or are there a few of you doing all this work between you?
Well, we've got the 8 people on the committee that
do all the work.
Yeah, really.
And your outreach with other regional pride groups, is it... Who are the other regional pride groups, and what sort of things do you do in Bendigo?
Well, we've got CAN in Bendigo that we meet up with quite regularly, and FAB. So in Bendigo we go over to their gay night, which is the last Friday on the month. Starts at 10 p.m. and I think the hotel's actually called the Black Swan, but they rename it Icon for their event. So we try and go along and support that, because being in the region area and Bendigo being close by, it's important to support other communities within.
Oh, absolutely, you know, absolutely. And how long has it been going for, and how did it get started?
GV Pride started about 5 years ago. I think a group of people got together and just wanted something to help support other people and get people out there. And that, you know, there are gay people out there and seen in Shepparton. It's come a long way. I think I've been in GB Pride for nearly 3 years now, and we're now out there and people know about GB Pride. It's in the news and the papers every other week, and the last month's been pretty busy with letters to the editor and, you know, good feedback and bad feedback, and but you're going to get that.
Now, Chris, tell us what your association with Hume Phoenix Clinic 35 PFLAG, are they all under the GB Pride banner and offshoots thereof?
Yeah, they're like, they all try and target the same thing. Phoenix is Aubrey's group. Mm-hmm. I haven't had too much to do with Phoenix. Usually when we go down to Beechworth and do events like that, we catch up with them, but we're so busy down this way, we don't manage to get up that way. So,
You were saying before that it started up in order to create a community for same-sex attracted people and everyone else that fits into the queer community. How do you go about something like that? Like, how did you attract members? And how do you still continue to attract members and communicate?
Well, we have Facebook and Twitter and social networking. It's great these days.
That wasn't me.
I was wondering.
People, Google it. We've got a website, gvpride.org.
Yeah.
A lot of people from Melbourne that come down and work in Shepparton look that up, and we've got a calendar with all the events, and they've said, yeah, we just Googled it, so just Google GV Pride and it pops up. You know, and also, like, another thing with the group, that it's very inclusive. We have a lot of straight allies that come along, and the committee have straight people.
That's great.
As well, so they're all putting the input, and it's a good group.
Yeah.
And mix.
And eight committee members.
Yes.
So do you actually really have to do a lot of work?
You know, it's pretty busy. I feel I don't have a normal social life. You know, it's all busy putting it out for the community, which is good.
You get that back.
You do, yes.
That's Chris from Goulburn Valley Community Pride. Goulburn Valley Pride.
Shades of Joy Outside Broadcast, recorded live in Shepparton, Sunday, February 13, 2011, only on Joy 94.9.
I have with me now Kim and Lockie from Goulburn Valley Community Health. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Now, Kim, tell me a little bit about Goulburn Valley Community Health. What and how far a reaching service is community health in Goulburn Valley?
Mm-hmm. Goulburn Valley Community Health, we cover Greater Shepparton, Moira and Strathbogie. So that's all the way up to Cobram and Yarrawonga, Shepparton and Ngambi and Euroa region. And we're a community health service. We provide a range of different services to the community, including different counselling services and health services. Did you want to know any more about what sort of services we provide? Lockie, you can...
I will get to Lockie on that one. Now, Lockie, you guys must have been pretty much under the pump of late with all of the floods going on around this region. Has that really affected the work that you do?
I think, essentially, look, the floods certainly did have a bit of impact on some of the people, but, yeah, we've, I suppose, had a few clients that have come through with some flood issues, but luckily a lot of the brunt of the floods didn't affect too many people, which has been a very good thing. But I suppose we are a flood-prone area, and it's certainly something that we do need to consider for the future.
Now, I know when the Twin Towers went down in New York, there was a huge spike in online dating services in the US. Does that mean we'll then see a spike in STIs as, a few weeks after that? I'm just trying to do a flood analogy. disaster in the region. A flood of STIs following from the floods. I'm just putting it out there. You never know. Now, Lockie, a lot of the work you do is around sexual health with the Community Health Centre. Is that different challenges doing sexual health in country Victoria?
I think, yeah, especially around access to services. We do cover a very broad section of country Victoria here, so actually getting the services to people or getting the people to the services is often a hard thing. But luckily a lot of our outreach services do cover a broad area of the community, which really, really helps getting those much-needed counselling and health-type services out to different members.
Now, paediatric health has long been a part of community health centres. Are you getting more and more gay couples or lesbian couples with children in your community health centres, Kim?
I don't actually think we are yet. Would you agree, Lockie?
Yeah, I certainly haven't seen any within my client load.
Maybe the flood of STIs might lead to a flood. No, that's not going to work, is it? Bugger that up. Kim, what do you actually do with the community health in Goulburn Valley?
Yeah, so counselling services. So we offer a really large drug and alcohol program.
Is that a big issue here?
Oh, drug and alcohol is a massive issue in this area. Particularly alcohol is a huge issue. And look, that flows onto the wider community as well, with such things as street violence and vandalism and things like that on the streets as well. So alcohol is a big issue, probably followed by cannabis as our second issue of concern in the area.
And I believe to prescribe drugs is quite a growing issue in the area as well.
Exactly. Prescription drugs are a huge issue and a growing issue, and I think one that's also under-recognised. People think that just because you get a prescription, it's okay, but people don't necessarily follow the directions that are on the prescriptions. And also, look, there's a lot of street sales of prescription drugs as well that are also an issue. So, yeah, big issue in a rural area.
Lachlan, do you get out and about to visit the various centres amongst your region?
Personally, I don't get out very much. No, I'm a...
They don't let you out.
No, they keep me in the building.
So what's your role within the centre?
Yep, I'm a Gamblers' Help counsellor, community educator and generalist counsellor. It's a big mouthful, but I managed to get it out. But, yeah, part of the community education, I've been getting out to Euroa and soon to go out to Cobram and getting a few, I suppose, really good community education messages out there.
Is the gambling issue quite large in this area as well? It's certainly big in pockets of Melbourne.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's about seven pokies venues around the area, and it's quite consistently around about the $30 million that goes through the pokies every single year.
They're doing all right.
Yeah, absolutely. So
at the cost of others.
Absolutely. And look, I think, you know, it's important to recognise that, you know, a lot of people do gamble just for fun, and that's fine, but quite often that does become a problem. And, yeah, we're here to, I suppose, help...
pick up the pieces, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Kim, if I live in your region, Shepparton Greater Districts, how can I get in touch with Goulburn Valley Community Health?
Yep, there's a few different ways. We have a website, www.gvchs.com.au, and people can actually get on the website and refer themselves via the website.
That's a great service.
It is a really great service. It means that people can also access our website at any time of the day or night that they actually feel like they want to reach out and get some help. They can drop in. We're 399 Wyndham Street in Shepparton, or they can call us on 58233200. And if we don't have the exact service for your issue or what you want help with, we will actually point you in the right direction.
Lachlan, give me that number again.
58233200.
Not quite as smooth, but thank you anyway. Kim and Lachlan from Goulburn Valley Community Health. Thanks for joining us here at Shades of Joy.
Thanks,
thank
you, Dean.
Shades of Joy outside broadcast, recorded live in Shepparton, Sunday, February 13, 2011, only on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.